What I want to do is go over one more time the acceptable forms
sure.
of a photo ID Absolutely. For voting in Texas. Of course, a Texas driver's license. A Texas election ID card issued by the Department of Public Safety. That's new.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing about those, Scott, is you can only use them for voting. They don't work for anything else.
Is that right?
That's right.
I guess the state had to, since they passed the legislation, they had to have an option to, yeah. to present that, okay?
Then a Texas personal ID card issued by the Department of Public Safety. A Texas concealed handgun license issued by the Department of Public Safety.
Mm-hmm.
A United States military ID card with your photo, which certainly makes sense. Mm-hmm. A United States citizenship certificate containing your photograph, or a United States passport. Now, if you're 65 or disabled and voting by mail, you don't have to show a photo ID
okay.
under those circumstances.
Now, Kat, you can take your concealed carry, but don't take the picture of the hog that you shot.
Okay. How did you know about that hog?
Well, I think you brought us that picture.
Oh,
it was on Facebook.
Yeah, we thought you were a hippie, and then you showed us that and said, don't mess with me.
Oh, I see. I forgot about that. I thought that was an off-the-radio conversation.
No, not at all. Now, early voting, that's about to get started, isn't it?
It is. It starts Monday morning at 8 o'clock, and it runs for 2 weeks on weekdays. It's Monday through Friday next week, 8 to 5, then Monday through Wednesday, October 28th through 30th, 8 to 5, and then the last 2 days, Thursday and Friday, October 31st, November 1st, it's 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So take your little goblins and go trick-or-treat and vote.
Bring them in and make them stand outside
the polling
place.
I want to come and vote.
Yeah.
And the good thing about early voting is you can go to any of the 5 early voting locations and vote in person anywhere you live. And that's the Brazos County Administration Building, Arena Hall out on Tabor Road, Galilee Baptist Church on North Logan and Bryan, the College Station Utilities Facility on Graham Road, or the MSC on the campus.
So there you go. There's lots of places out there to do it. If you want to vote, pretty much a time that you can do that, and they got places for them, too. I want to ask you, this is kind of on the same subject, and for folks who don't know, Marilyn Strott has held leadership roles in, like, state, national, international, when it comes to what you do. Obviously, there's technology out there that is going to make voting, it makes voting election night counting a whole lot easier than it used to be. Everybody bringing in their thumb drives or, you know, that kind of stuff, and it makes things go a lot faster. But actually casting a ballot, tell me what kind of discussions y'all are having as to how the future is going to unfold as far as casting ballots in with technology.
Well, you know, the state law requires that we provide some sort, and federal law actually too, provide some sort of device where individuals who are disabled or illiterate can vote unassisted. And so the system that we use, the eSlate system, it has been ranked the highest by advocate groups for people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
People can come in, they can be completely blind. It has sip and puff capabilities for quadriplegics. It's a great system for those who are disabled or can't read, because it will read the ballot to them. I'm not sure where we're headed that we could get any better. It will event, you know, I think as we go along, things get better. We've added the component now for when you come in now, we don't have to take those big printouts anymore and flip through them.
Yeah.
You know, we have the e-poll books now.
And right.
We're connected to the state system, so we have the voter registration right there. We can print the little sticker. We read it with a barcode now. So counting the ability to know who voted in what election, and that helps with voter fraud issues,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's always after the fact, usually.
Right.
But it does help with that issue. And then the ability to count more quickly and more accurately
mm-hmm.
is certainly something that we're very excited about and glad to see happening. The days of the hanging chads are over, pretty much.
Tell me about discussions of as far as casting ballots remotely and not having to actually go to a polling place. Where do you think we are there?
I think we're heading in that direction. You know, you can vote from outer space now by email. And there are some pilot projects in effect, and there's, you know, we've certainly made it easier for our military to vote, not necessarily returning their ballot, but in the ability to get the ballot. You know, we now accept online applications from them, where in the past we couldn't do that. So I think we're gradually getting there. I think eventually we will be there. It's just a matter of working through the kinks of the voter fraud and voter ID issues. How do we know you're who you say you are, and how do we know you're only going to vote once? So, but I think we're heading there.
Okay. And one of the other things you mentioned is the military and them being able to vote. And what that's done is obviously changed the way that we will be voting here. And that's already happened once. So we've kind of gotten through that one time, and I presume it'll be easier from now on, because we'll have city and school board elections at the same time that we'll have state and federal elections. You think this is, again, just something that's changed in this time, people will be used to it?
I think so. You know, there's arguments for and against the fact that we did move to November. But there is no arguing with the fact that we had the highest turnout we've ever had in a city election last November. We had more people vote on that November ballot last year than we've ever had vote. Of course, we had a lot more undervotes as well. You're going to have people that are only interested in certain races, federal or state maybe, and aren't going to want to vote in the local elections. But I'm hoping that over time, they'll get used to us being there, they'll start anticipating us being there, and we'll have more and more people that'll choose to vote and not just skip those races. Right.
Well, again, voting is the most important thing, and if you've got record numbers of people at least coming to the polls, I think that's probably a good situation.
I think so, too.